2 Kings 8, verse 26, the scripture says, Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah. How did you pronounce it?
Athaliah.
All right. A granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab and did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done, for he was related by marriage to Ahab's family. Just bow your heads a little bit in prayer. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you. We ask that you will open our understanding in your word by your precious Holy Spirit. And we pray tonight that as you give us the truth, which is a weapon, that by this truth that every stronghold in this territory be pulled down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this place, we read about Athaliah. The scripture says of this woman that she is the granddaughter of Omri. And when you read about Omri in 1 Kings 16, verse 25 to 28. But Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and sinned more than all those before him. He walked in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and in his sin which he has caused Israel to commit, so that they provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger by their worthless idols. As for the other events of Omri's reign, what he did and the things he achieved, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son succeeded him as king. So we see here that this woman was the daughter of Ahab. And you remember who Ahab is. Ahab is a king that was so wicked that was influenced by his wife Jezebel. You remember the story? Okay. Now, you see that this Athaliah has the same traits or character traits just as the mother. When you read in 1 Kings 21, verse 25 to 26, the Bible says, there was no one that sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord as Ahab, who was influenced by his wife, Jezebel. Is that right? Yes. It's very important that you understand that just as we have physical inheritance of lands and houses, of title deeds, cars, bank accounts, money, just as we have inheritance. A good father, the Bible says, leaves an inheritance for his children. Just as we have inheritance, good inheritance, we also have bad inheritance. An inheritance is not limited to physical things. You pass your genes to your children. Is that right? You pass your genes to your children. So, demons don't die. I will talk about that later. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Jezebel may die, but the spirit that was on her did not die. She passed it to the daughter. Now, you need to understand something about this Jezebel. In 2 Chronicles, you see also 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 2 to 5. He said, Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, a granddaughter of Omri. He too walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. For after his father's death, they became his advisors to his undoing. Did you see the same thing? The same thing the mother did, the same thing she did. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what did the mother do? She was specialized in killing the prophets of God. When you read in 1 Kings 18, verse 13, the Bible says she killed the prophets of God. She did not only kill the prophets of God, she also established her own order of prophets, prophets of Baal. When you read in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 13, and 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 to 34. So you will see that is what Jezebel did. But Athaliah did more than that. When you read in 2 Kings chapter 11, when she saw that her child, her son, died, the Bible says she rose up and killed all the royal seed and reign over the land. Now, I want to take you a little bit behind the scene, like the Hollywood call it, behind the scene. What goes on beyond the character trait, beyond those actions of Jezebel and Athaliah. Now, you read that in 2 Kings chapter 9. Verse 22 and 30. When Joram saw Jehu, he asked, "Have you come in peace, Jehu?" "How can there be peace?" Jehu replied. "As long as all the idolatry and witchcraft of your mother Jezebel abound." Verse 30. Then Jehu went to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she painted her eyes, arranged her hair, and looked out of a window. As Jehu entered the gate, she asked, "Have you come in peace, Zimri, you murderer of your master?" He looked up at the window and called out, "Who is on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked down at him. "Throw her down," Jehu said. So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered the wall and the horses as they trampled her on the foot. Now, you see in this scripture, behind Jezebel was the spirit of witchcraft. Did you understand that? Not only the spirit of witchcraft, secondly, the spirit of prostitution. Did you see that there? Witchcraft and prostitution. This is a very strong principality. Now, I'm going to be saying something. I pray God to help you understand this and be able to grasp this. When you read the scripture, the Bible gives us insight into what witchcraft. From the background where I come from, I can tell you from practical experience what witchcraft is all about. And I want to tell you, one of the strongest forces America is facing today is witchcraft. Now, I will not go into deep details in this meeting today. I will only share and stop because it's a long section of teaching. There are two types of witchcraft. There are 12 dimensions of witchcraft. I can't go into all that today. There is the conscious witch and there is the blind witch. And the blind witch is in the church. The conscious witch is the one we know, sorcery. They use objects. They cast spells. Okay? When you read Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, he says you should not use witchcraft, not consult the dead, necromancy, horoscope, reading of the palms, or jabod, you know. I was just coming from Dallas. They took me to a hospital to pray for a man who has, you know, was a Christian, was in the church, you know, I think Baptist church or so, was on fire for God. And later on, you know, he went out in faith to come back again. And, you know, within the time to alcohol, he drank a lot of alcohol. They say it has affected the whole system. And so the man wanted me to pray. I said, no, hold it. So I started asking him some questions about him. And it opened his eyes. He said, I never thought about this. So I was telling him, asking him some questions, and then he saw that his brother has opened the door for the spirits of witchcraft in his life. And you know, the devil is out to destroy. Jesus said, I've come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the good news is that Jesus has come to give life and life in abundance. Now, I want you to understand that you are coming against Ataliah's spirit. In one hand, is witchcraft. And witchcraft, the spirit that kills the prophet. On the other hand, also is prostitution, the spirit that destroyed destiny. Do you hear what I just said? Witchcraft, the spirit that killed the prophets. It has to do with religion. Jezebel organized her own religion, the Baal worship. The prophets to prophesy for her. She killed the prophets of the Lord. But Ataliah kills the royal seed. He killed the seed that carried destiny of Israel. Do you understand that? This is a spirit of prostitution. When you read in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 3. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 3, the Bible says, don't give your strength to that which destroys kings. Why should you give your vigor, your strength, your destiny to that which destroys kings? Can you read it? Proverbs 31. Yes.
Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings.
That's right. That is talking about the spirit of prostitution. Are you ready for this? Am I too hard? All right. Let me just share a little bit and then we'll pray about the witchcraft and prostitution. Witchcraft is a spirit. And the spirit in charge of witchcraft is called familiar spirit. When you read Leviticus 19, Leviticus chapter 19, chapter 20, verse 27, chapter 19, verse 31, it shows us familiar spirit. Okay? And witchcraft, as I said, have two areas. You have sorcery. The sorcery use objects. Okay? Uses objects. That's where you have all those, you know, palm reading, card playing, you know, horoscope, you know, trying to know the future through the levers and, you know, crystal balls and all that. You know, enchantment, incantations, and, you know, consulting with the dead, you know, all those is grouped under one sorcery. And you have, on the other hand, also another branch of witchcraft, like I told you, that is domination, that is manipulation, that is control, that is intimidation. Now, this is a part that many are blind about it. When you read the scripture in 2 Kings 11 about this Athaliah, she killed the royal seed, and what did she do? She reigned over the land. She dominated the land. And she terrorized. You know, domination goes with fear. Fear. Now, let me give you an instance in Acts chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. The Bible talks about this man, you know, Simon the sorcerer. And this man has such influence over the whole Samaria that they looked up to him as God, that he's the power of God, because he bewitched the people. Now, let me break it down a little bit. Have you instances in the family, it may be a man, it may be the woman, that has a domineering attitude in the home? He controls everybody. And that is dangerous. And if you look at it, it passed down to the children. And back in Africa, a man that has such spirit, they looked at him like a lion. When he comes, the children runs, everybody just disappears. And that's a domineering spirit. It's a spirit that works with intimidation, with control. Now, if you have such type of thing, you need to renounce it. You need to renounce it. It's not God. The Bible says wherever the Spirit of God is, there is what?
Freedom.
Yes, liberty. Yes, liberty. And this goes with sickness and disease. Because witchcraft is a devilish spirit. Right now I'm talking, I'm coming to my mind of a woman, you know, that have such attitude, and she's always suffering from migraine headache all the time. And she controls, and any member of the family that does not accept her control, you know, becomes an enemy. It's just that. So she manipulates, she always gets her way. She wants everything to go the way she wants it. Now that's a dangerous spirit. It's witchcraft. It's more than character traits. It's more than attitude. It is a demonic spirit. Now, on the other hand, there is the spirit. When you read Acts 16, you remember Acts 16 about the lady that was following Paul to go and pray. And this lady, the Bible says she was possessed by a spirit of python. The Bible calls it python. You know, python is different from other snakes. Other snakes are snakes that the venom pours out, but python does not pour out venom. Python rolls around his victim and crush it before he swallows it. Is that right? She was possessed. Now, you need to know there is a difference between possession and influence. Okay? Somebody can be influenced by an evil spirit from distance. Just like you have your telecommand here. Okay, the remote control used to change the channels of television from distance. Now, a demonic spirit can influence somebody, and the person will be doing things contrary to himself, to his own wishes. And the cycle is repeating. I don't understand, why am I going through this process? But possession, the spirit lives in the person and expresses through the person. You remember the demoniac of Gadara? The madman was possessed by evil spirit. It does not mean that whenever someone is possessed by evil, we have to be mad. No. This lady was not mad. She was sane in her mind, but she was possessed by the spirit of divination. That is another branch of witchcraft. And she brought money through that practices, through the phone to tell him. And when Paul discerned by the Holy Spirit that information she was giving that is apparently true, but was coming from the wrong source. Paul commanded the demon to leave, and the result, they imprisoned Paul. Now, when you when you cast out devils, be ready for trouble. Did you hear what I just said? That's why you must be a prayer for church. Because I have seen, I have been in prison because, not because I did anything wrong, but because of the gospel of Jesus. The devil wouldn't fold your hands and allow you to take his territory. Do you understand that? He will fight you every inch of the way because it is about kingdom. Who will rule? But I declare to you that Jesus will reign.
Amen.
So, in this place, you see, like I said, I wouldn't go very deep about that tonight. So, you see the spirit of divination. There are so many things I see as I go across America, you know, since these few years I've been coming here, you know, in different places. I see people who say they prophesy, but really are prophesying out of witchcraft. It's not really prophecy. Prophecy is not to control, to manipulate, to intimidate, to dominate someone's life. Prophecy is to exalt, to encourage, to strengthen, to give hope. That's what the Bible says. When someone begins to use the gift of the Spirit to control someone else's life and destiny, it's not God, it's demonic. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That is witchcraft. Now, some are doing ignorantly, you know. And I see different places, somebody meet me. He's always having a word all the time for someone just to control his life. Mm-hmm. And speaking even when God did not speak. Oh, may God restore the fear of God in the church. May God restore the fear of God in the church. You know, in the Old Testament, if you prophesy and God did not ask you, they stone you to death. Thank God for the grace of God. Now, you see, the spirit of prostitution, that is another spirit. It is a spirit that destroys, like I said, destiny of people. Now, let me just share this quickly and we'll pray. When you read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, I think the Bible says the desire of the woman will be upon the man and the man will rule over her. Is that true? Talking about the husband and wife. Now, in other words, God was expecting that in a woman's life, the first man that will sleep with you will have to be your husband. The first person to be virgin you will have to be your husband. I will explain to you why. You remember in God made a covenant with Abraham and says they have to circumcise all the male. What about the women? How are they in the covenant with God? It's only the male that were circumcised. Is that right?
Yes.
The circumcision, the blood that's spilled, is a token of covenant between the Israel and God. Because the covenant is always sealed by blood. In the case of the woman, when the woman, the first time she sleeps with the man, you remember what happens, blood comes out. That blood is a covenant with God. But if it is not the husband, the blood is a covenant with a demon. That enters the spirit of prostitution. And when you read in Leviticus 19, verse 29, it says, you should not make your daughters to prostitute so that the land will not fall into wickedness. It destroys the destiny of the land. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? And this is a spirit that America is facing. And from Hollywood, they are pumping it into the world. Immorality has become so rampant. It's almost like nothing. Because it's a spirit. And many young people, many of our young age, if you take, I think last time I was here, they were talking about a percentage. If you take how many of the teenagers that have experimented sex, you'll be amazed. The spirit of what? Prostitution. It's a demonic spirit. So God revealed to me in this environment, we need to come against the Atalaya spirit. And we need to pray against that spirit. Now, if that spirit have impact in your life, in your family, you can renounce it. You can break whatever is a soul tie and be free. And be instrument in the hands of God to help other people. Because there are many that has been infiltrated with that spirit. Remember what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. He said, two shall become one flesh. A covenant is sealed. Okay. Now, I just want to briefly also mention that this witchcraft also casts, there are sicknesses and diseases that are simply by the spell of witches. Now, I can tell you because in our outreach, I remember on one occasion, I have prayed for a man who was blind. Why? Because he slept with another man's wife, and the man consulted with a juju, a witch doctor, and made him blind. And the man came for prayers, and I told him, you know what? You have to repent first of your sin. And then I can pray for you and you'll be healed. And he said no. Because he was proud and ashamed to say I'm sorry to the man that he has wronged. In one of our outreaches, I prayed for a woman. This woman has a church, a big church, but it was an occultic church. They practice all kinds of mysticism. And the first night, she heard that the eye of a blind man was open in the outreach, so that attracted her to come to the crusade, the evangelistic outreach. And just in the midst of the outreach, after evangelism, during the time people come forward, you know, to receive Christ or for prayer or whatever, and she approached me. And when I put my finger on her front, this place splitted into two. Blood started coming out. Nine demons left her body. And she was delivered. And the church was converted. Now, you wonder how I travel around the world to, you know, the churches we plant there. It's simply by the answers to prayer. Simply by the answers to prayer. Thank you. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus asked the demoniac. He commanded the demon to leave, and the demons, you know, did not go. But they were screaming in fear. And Jesus said, what is your name? And they said, Legion. For we are many. The demon spoke. Okay? Even though we know the devil is the father of lies, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit, an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit, the demon is forced to speak the truth. They say, we are legion. And you know, legion in the army is not less than 3,000 soldiers. And Jesus says, get out of him. Can you imagine that, ma'am? 3,000 demons living in one man. And he went insane. So the demon spoke through the mouth of that woman. That's how I knew. When witchcraft demons are in manifestation, different demons manifest differently. witchcraft, when you pray for people who have witchcraft spirit, you know, there are extraordinary manifestations, just like what you read in the Bible. Now, Jesus has not changed. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same forevermore. You understand? One of the greatest lies the devil has taught the church is that miracles are over. It is the greatest lie that the devil has taught the church that the days of the miracles finish with the apostles in the Bible. But that's a lie from the pit of hell.
Yes.
We should not accept such lies. Jesus, but they don't tell you that the miracle of salvation is over. Salvation is miracle. It is even the greatest miracle to receive Jesus in your heart and be changed from inside of your heart. Miracles are not over. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I want to close by saying, just sharing this with you, and then we'll pray. Deliverance and spiritual warfare. Number one, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says that Jesus in the cross spoiled principalities and powers. He disarmed them through his death. Hebrews 2, verse 14 to 15 says he took flesh so that through his death he would destroy he that has the power of death, and that is the devil. So that those who have been in bondage will be delivered from fear. And so Jesus, through his death on the cross, he carried our sin. He took the punishment of our sin, which is death, the consequences of our sin, which is sickness, which is disease, which is curses. He took all that on the cross. He disarmed this principality and power. So the good news is that Jesus is alive. And God gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of the things in heaven and of the things on earth. So everyone that received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not only his sins are forgiven. The Bible says in Colossians 1 verse 13 to 14, he has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And Paul was writing to the Colossian church that have accepted Jesus and have been delivered. So that leaves the premise that one can be delivered from these spirits by the power of the name of Jesus. And then when you read in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with what? Principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, it takes a man that is delivered to engage in spiritual warfare. I repeat, it takes someone that is what? Delivered to engage in spiritual warfare. Someone who is not delivered, you engage in spiritual warfare, you will only meet with casualties. And that's why many people are afraid of deliverance. But I have good news for you. You don't need to fear. If you have received Jesus, you don't need to fear. My father was afraid those days to leave those things because he's afraid those demons will kill him. But I assured him and showed him in the scriptures of the power and the authority in Jesus Christ. And finally, you know, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he left those things. And he was delivered from those spirits. Now, whatever is the affliction or sickness or disease, you know, by evil spirit, I want to assure you that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So the sickness, that disease must go. It is not the work of God, it is the work of the devil. There is no way around it. The Bible says Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of who? The devil. And so, I want to close by saying to you, God is positioning your church in spiritual warfare to deal with this territorial spirit. You must understand it is the spirit world that rules the physical world. If I'm very happy with your pastor, because the first time I was here before I left, I see his passion and his desire for souls to be won into the kingdom of God, to expand the work of God. And I agree with his dream. I agree with his vision. And I believe that you agree with the vision and dream. I want you not to be limited in your dream. I repeat, I want you not to be limited in your dream, because the people can put a brake on the pastor. Did you hear what I said? The people can put a, you drive a car, as you drive a car, and a brake. Can the car move? Can it move? No, it cannot move. If you don't, you know, marry the vision and the dream of the pastor, it could halt his forward movement. I'm a pastor. We have seen churches. We have trained pastors, so I understand what I'm talking about. And there is nothing as wonderful when the people are engaged in the vision of the pastor and they want to see souls won, want to see the will of God done, want to see the kingdom of God come on earth, want to see the reign of Jesus in their territory. It's very vital that we influence even down to the governments in this place. Jesus did not die in vain. Do you understand me? He is waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. He's waiting that the earth be redeemed. Not only that sinners be saved, but also the lands be redeemed. Jesus is waiting for that. And he's waiting for me and you. The Bible says the earnest expectation of the creature waited, groaning in pain for the manifestation of the sons of God. All the souls in Alexandria and Louisiana that are not saved are waiting for you and me to rise up and bring liberation, freedom by the power of Jesus to them. And we have to engage in spiritual warfare. Tonight I cannot teach you. It's a long thing to talk about spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, where I quoted in verse 18, the Bible says, pray in all prayer in the Spirit. And I believe that we are going to see the kingdom of God expand more and more in this territory in the name of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Thank you so much for the privilege to share the word of God with you. Lord, we just want to thank you for tonight. You are so good to us. You are so wonderful to us. You are so kind to us. We thank you for this moment we have spent together to share the word of God and to share the things which you have put in my heart to share with your people. Because you have raised this church up in a time as this, like you said to Esther. And you want to use this church to affect the entire territory and even beyond, even across the world. And I pray tonight that you are going to release the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to engage in spiritual warfare. That your plans and purposes may be fulfilled. We thank you and we bless your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I would want to say that, you know, if you want me to pray with you or counsel with you, if you, you know, those who are sick, all right, you could, because of time, you could stay back. I will have time to pray with you and minister to you. Okay, Pastor.